Hello? Lord, as Srila Prabhupada, for Prabhupada, as many Prabhupada is a one-dimensional character, one-dimensional. Srila Prabhupada, many, everybody can please come up. And turn off your phone. Prabhupada is not a one-dimensional person. There are many, many qualities. He has a sense of humor, he is very funny, at the same time very brave, answered scholar, fantastic cook. In fact, there is nothing that he couldn't do. Expert business person, expert at law, organization, amazing. But I think he set up a whole institution. Devotees in New York were trying to, they got cheated by some real estate agent. Prabhupada said, they could cheat you, but not me. I'm an old Calcutta boy.
He had many, many,
he's expert in many things.
It's a cold day.
It's okay. I've also been speaking for the last 4 days, something that was done. But to me, I mean, these other qualities are all embellishments, like, you know, crown, there's so many jewels which I'll make up the whole thing. These qualities are all very important. But to me, the most important quality, the most, you can say, the most glorious thing about Srila Prabhupada is that he took his guru's instruction in life and soul. Srila Prabhupada explains, if you listen to his lectures, then you will know that he explained that what was a very major turning point in his life, he was reading Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, I think it was the second chapter, kind of that verse. So that's why, and in the commentary of that, Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that the disciple should take the order of his guru, his life and soul. That Prabhupada instruction very deeply. So he made that his, and he took it as a life and soul. In fact, there's one in verse in the fourth canto also, I think it's a Chitraketu. A second where it describes that the order of the guru is worshipful. So Prabhupada took this order of Bhakti Siddhanta as the meaning of his life, nothing else. But as a grihastha, he probably has so many responsibilities as a grihastha, he was trying to do this. But to speak, when he left his family, that became all he did. Because a grihastha has so many responsibilities if you're married. You know that they take care of so many things. Make money, do this. But as a sannyasi, even then, totally one-pointed. Nothing except that. That became the all-in-all Srila Prabhupada. And on top of that, all these other qualities are, you know, they're embellishments on this one quality. Because if it wasn't for that quality of taking his guru's instruction as a life and soul, becoming a literally a link in the guru parampara, evam parampara prapta evam rajara surya. This is the link in the parampara. And Krishna explains that in due course of time, it gets broken. I couldn't imagine. When I first read that verse, I couldn't imagine how somebody could do that. Break the parampara. But then, I've seen it happen in front of my own eyes many times, unfortunately. So that's how Krishna said that. And Srila Prabhupada, he was an extremely strong link in the group. He is a direct connection to Krishna. So he did that. One thing, so, and you can see in his life, so in taking that order up, you know, promoting the mission of the Guru Parampara, the previous Acharyas, Lord Chaitanya, all of the Bhagavan Thakur, Kaushala Babaji, Siddhanta, and he was always promoting Krishna. Lord Chaitanya's mission, even at the cost of being criticized, he was criticized. People would criticize him, Smartha Brahmins would criticize him, Maya bodies would criticize him, people would criticize. Parents would criticize Srila Prabhupada. But he was, because he was not into self-promotion, he didn't care if people liked him or not. He cared only that people began to love Krishna. He was not into people should like me. Not that he was going to promote it. It's not that, International Society of Prabhupada consciousness.
He didn't write books about himself.
He was writing books about Krishna. Only. That was his selfless goal. One-pointed. Krishna. Not God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. A specific point of consciousness. Somebody suggested you could call it the International Society of God. No. Has to be Krishna, because otherwise God could be taken in so many ways. It could be become my body, or personal, or whatever. Krishna consciousness. What's the Hindi translation of
Krishna
Bhavanamrit? What's the highest international society of Krishna consciousness in Hindi?
Antarashtriya Krishna Bhavanamrit Sangha.
Yeah, right. That's taken from Sanatana. I think it's from Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami. We always thinking of Krishna Bhava. Krishna, always thinking about Krishna. Like that. So he was never self-promotional. He didn't go pushing himself, promoting his own biography or anything like that. And so in his mission, the Lord Chaitanya's mission, he was always against preaching against any deviation in Veda culture, caste consciousness, Sahajayism, all these things. He wanted to establish. He said, Bhakti Siddhanta came for two purposes. He was Lord Chaitanya, he was a Jagannath's secretary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lord Jagannath came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and said, you should do all these things that I'm too old. What can I do? I'm old now. You should send somebody. And that's how also Bhakti Siddhanta was born. Secretary of Lord Jagannath. He said that Bhakti Siddhanta came to establish two things: Daivi Varnashram and pure chanting of the holy name of Krishna. If you want to know what Srila Prabhupada's mission was, then you should read Sri Bhakti Siddhanta by Baba. Then you'll know what Bhakti Siddhanta is trying to do. Then you'll know. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, Prabhupada, a mission. Then you'll know what Prabhupada's mission is. Then you'll know what you're supposed to be doing. Right? Then you'll know what we're supposed to be doing. So, pure chanting of the holy name. Very much against Sahajayism. Establishment of Daivi Varnashram. Against these caste Goswamis, so many different things. But specifically against Mayava, what's Prabhupada Pranam Mantra? Nirvishesha Shunyavada. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari. And he's following the teachings of Bhakti Siddhanta and Vajradhyaya to destroy impersonalism and voidism, because this was I was reading when I was in Mayapur. I took a vow that I was reading in the background when I was there, and it didn't show a slightly different side of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was extremely angry. Personalists. One time, when Acharya tried to get his, that's what Chaitanya was always treating with respect. Because he's an older person, like here. But one time, Vaidyacharya didn't like this. He wanted to be as a servant. So he came on his... in order to do that, he latched onto the idea that he would pretend to be an abhayava. So he would read Adhyatma Ramayana or Vishishta, something like that. Anyway, it's all Maya. And so when Lord Chaitanya found out about this, so he asked, so he came, he went and found out that he asked, he came, you know, to Advaita's ashram, and he said, he heard that Advaitacharya, when he was with the Vaishnavas, he would pretend to be a Vaishnava, but then when he was with, when he then went with other Sanghas, he would then be with them, he would be Advaitas. So he got very upset. So then he came to Shantipur. Rumbling with anger, the Lord said, Nada. Nada, that was a name for Advaita, Nada. Tell me, which is superior, speculative knowledge or devotional service? Advaita replied, speculative knowledge is always superior. But what is the use of devotional service if a person is devoid of impersonal knowledge? As soon as these words entered his ears, Lord Chaitanya became inflamed and forgot his surroundings. He pulled Advaita down from his asana and dragged him out into the patio. There he threw them on the ground and struck him repeatedly. Sort of like Krishna when he pulled Kamsa off. You know, he was beating him. That's how much he liked Advaita. That's how much he liked Mayavada philosophy. That was in the 19th chapter. In the 3rd chapter, he was doing his Varaha Prakash experience. This is his form of Lord Varaha Day. So Lord Varaha was pleased with Murari Gupta's words. Then expressing anger at the Vedic literature, he spoke aloud. The Vedas have the audacity to say that I have no hands, no legs, no mouth, and no ears. There is a mischievous sannyasi living in Kashi who teaches this to his students. That rascal tries to mutilate my transcendental form. He studies the Vedas and teaches others, but he does not accept my transcendental form. As a result of such blasphemy, he has been attacked by the dreaded disease of leprosy, but he cannot understand the reason for this affliction. So, he didn't like Mayavada, didn't like impersonalists. Well, that's Lord Chaitanya. He's beating Advaitacharya, grabbed him by the hair, dragged him to the ground, and beat him mercilessly because he was giving him mercy. His beating was mercy. And afterwards, of course, Advaitacharya was extremely happy and jubilant for being treated like a servant. Because, as Rupa Goswami explains, that Krishna is a cowherd boy. Right? What do cowherd boys have sticks in their hands? Right? Why? Because if the cow moves off the track and the cowherd boy beats the cow, puts it back on the track. Just, you know, keeping him on. So he was praying that Krishna at least beat him and keep him on the track, straight and narrow. So Lord Chaitanya was doing that with all of us, specifically in that case with Vaidyacharya, because he was promoting Vedic philosophy. So, Lord Chaitanya, he explains in the Navadvipa Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Lord Chaitanya accepted from each sampradaya 2 points. From Madhvacharya, he accepted that Krishna is a great personality of Godhead, an uncompromising resistance to Advaita Bhakti. They are the enemy. Because they're Krishna's enemy. Our enemies, we don't have enemies. But the enemies of Lord Chaitanya, those are our enemies. The enemies of Krishna, those are our enemies. Because that's the, you know, those who are on the Mayavada level, they see 4 things. They see God, they see the devotees, they see the innocent, and they see the asuras. God they worship, they associate with the devotees, they're merciful to the innocent, and they ignore or attack the demons. And accepts it. Krishna is a big person like that, and uncompromising resistance, attacking Maya. And Ramakrishnacharya, two principles also. No mixture of karma and jnana, and the concept of dasa and das. From Vishnu Swami, two principles, the principle of Raga Yuga Bhakti, and that we should, you know, Sri Krishna Sharanam Bhava. We take our shelter in Krishna. And from Nimbarkacharya, two principles also, that the method of worship by the gopis is the highest, and that Srimati Radharani is paramount. These two principles. So, in this case, the uncompromising attack on Mayana. And this didn't make Prabhupada popular with some people. Remember, I was in December of 2010, they had this cosmology conference in just northern part of Bangalore, some, I don't know, some big technical institute. So this one Advaitic scholar got up. And he's brilliant. The man was brilliant. Everybody else had a slide, had a PowerPoint. They were hiding behind their PowerPoint presentation. He just got up and he was brilliantly speaking. Excellent, expert. You have to, you know, it was all my holiday. And Rasaraj pointed out, and he immediately latched onto it because he said, you're saying that Vedanta is only Advaita Vedanta. This is, you know, this is your common thing, that there's only Advaita Vedanta. That's Vedanta means Advaita. And he started attacking him. And the man responded saying, well, then he said, actually, all things can be resolved with Advaita Bhava. But then after he said, then I went to see him, and everybody, some ladies were there. And I said, no, excuse me, but you said that everything can be resolved, explained with Advaita Bhava. If that's the case, why Ramanuja rejected it? Why Madhvacharya rejected it? Why Vishwaswami rejected it? Why Nimbarka rejected it? Why Lajitana rejected it? Anything. Then, I guess he was trying to be very cool and sophisticated, you know, like how he's awake about this all, you know, everything is shanti. Big smiles, all these like stupid smiles on their face, like, you know. So then at that point he just became, he just like burst, into, he was so upset that I didn't agree with him. He says, you, Hare Krishna, that Prabhupada, he immediately started blaming Prabhupada. That Prabhupada, he's that, like, Bhakti Vedanta Swami, and then I was just happy, I just turned around and walked away. He lost his cool, totally lost his cool. Because the Advaita Bhava doesn't end up as one Ramanujas guru, the one boat that was there, said, his Advaita, as soon as they open their mouth, they're no longer Advaita. Because it then becomes a fools. But that's the enemy. They are the enemy. That's Prabhupada's Nirvishesha Shunyavada, that's his target. Everything else comes from that. Even his casteism, all these different things are based on that. So Srila Prabhupada never compromised. One thing about Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada never compromised, but at the same time, he had many virtues. Many, you know, he was always very polite. Because in his horoscope, I was thinking, next time I'll do his horoscope presentation. But in his horoscope, Srila Prabhupada has Makara Lagna, and the Lagna Lord is in Tula. Shani is in Tula. So Tula, one of the things, when Tula is very, can be very diplomatic, very tactful. Prabhupada knew how to deal with every person. He had a skill. If you were a worker, or if you were a king, you know, or a cardinal, he met with cardinals, he met with very important dignitaries, and or some workmen in the field, he knew how to treat them with respect. Very, you know, very gentle. But at the same time, he wasn't wishy-washy. He was very firm in his principles. He didn't compromise. He knew what was what, you know. Because the negative side of anybody who's got the strong tula is they feel like peace. Right? They want to be peaceful. So sometimes for that, they try to be all things to all people. They want people to like them. So that then makes people not trust them, because you can't be all things to all people. You have to, at a certain point, you have to stand your ground. You have to draw the line in the sand. This is what you stand for. You can still be respectful to people, but you know where you stand. You're not trying to get people to like you. You have to, that's where it goes to the negative side, is people are trying to get, they want there to be peace, they want everybody to like them, but nobody. You'll never get everybody to like you. The fact that you try to get everybody to like you will make people not like you because they don't trust you. That's what happens. They say, this person, when he's with this one, he's saying, you know, when he's with me, he's saying bad things about that person. When he's with that person, he's saying bad things about me. Because he wants everybody to like him. And nobody will trust you. So Srila Prabhupada was very respectful to people, but he was uncompromised. Like Bhakti Siddhanta said, I read that yesterday. I'll repeat it. It's worth repeating. If I were to desist from lecturing about the absolute truth due to fear that some listeners may be displeased, I would be deviating from the path of Vedic truth and accepting the path of untruth. I would become one who is inimical to the Vedas, an atheist, and would no longer possess faith in Bhagavan, the very embodiment of truth. He who compromises is ditched. So you have to be like Arjuna, to choose Krishna and forget about the army. Long as Krishna is happy with you, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. The Guru is happy with you when Krishna is happy with you. And so sometimes people think that the whole idea of the Krishna consciousness is how to make anybody, of course you would like anybody in the world, but not everybody's going to be in the world. Anushinam Samastresh. Out of many thousands of men, hardly one who was attempt, even be interested in achieving perfection. Now that many of those who try hardly one become the devotee. We were only interested in one moon, full moon, not many stars. Prabhupada said he would consider himself successful if you just make one person a pure devotee. So it's not that everybody's going to become a devotee. It's not that we should, in an attempt to get everybody into his son, we should lower our standards. No, we cannot compromise. Because Srila Prabhupada pointed, only requires 1% of the population that will have a huge impact. I'll give it an example. In India, right, even the street sweepers, when they go to the toilet, how do they clean themselves? With water, and they use their left hand. Why? And that's how Brahmins clean themselves. That's the way of a Brahmin. That's part of rabbinical culture. So, because the Brahmins do that, tiny percent of the population, everybody else does it, because it filters them. People imitate what the highest culture does. So you only require a small percentage to have a big effect. So you never should compromise. Srila Prabhupada said that you will always have a ready market for the authentic commodity. For the authentic thing, you will always have a ready market. He gave the example of the famous jalebi wall in Philly. There are many jalebi walls. Right? But this one, he had a queue standing to buy jalebis. They were all much more expensive than anybody else's. But why? He used pure ghee. All the others, they used dalga, vanaspati. Cheaper, but they were willing to pay. It was three times the price of how. What's the difference? What's the cost difference between a kg of dalda and a kg of ghee? What is it? Huh? Okay, they're willing to pay three times the amount for the real thing. So they go, a queue in front of their store. Not a queue in front of other stores. So never compromise. You will always, people want the real thing. Never compromise. He never compromised. He never all being. His father was a demon. How much worse he is a complete demon. He was always respectful to his father, but never agreed with him. His son never fought with his father. He always agreed with him. Because he was the son. Malachi was an older person. He didn't have to be. He didn't have to be so agreeable. He often shouted at people. How am I going to say? There was one incident which shows this. I think it was either in late April or early May 1977 in Mumbai. Prabhupada was very ill. He was then six months later he was passed away. He left his body. Prabhupada was gravely ill. I think when he was bedridden, actually he was bedridden. When I was in Mumbai at that time, Prabhupada came to the Prabhupada program. He wasn't speaking. Actually, Bhagavananda was reading from the Bhagavatam, but Prabhupada became so fired up that he grabbed the mic and started speaking. And he came, even though he was really sick, and he carried up to the stage. This is after that. He was even more sick. So, some followers of Chinmayananda and Shivananda, Pankamaya, not even sort of quasi Pankamaya, at least, they, you know, Chinmayananda, everybody knows Chinmayananda. Krishna means black. Black means nothing. What do you, you know, what do you think? If a door is half open, it's half closed. Half is equal to half, therefore open is equal to closed. What do you think? It's Chinmayananda. So this is followers. They came courtesy call to Srila Prabhupada, everybody was ill. Coming courtesy, you know, some very, you know, chit chat was going on like that. The Prabhupada started trying to preach to them from Gita. Started preaching to them about Krishna's God. And then they said, that it's like they stepped on a landmine. You know, stepped on a landmine. They said, well, actually, nobody knows the meaning of Gita. They said that. Then Prabhupada was sick, laying in bed. Then he became like a lion. He was like 10 lions. He just became furious. Don't say nobody knows. You don't know. Don't say nobody knows. And he then they tried to change the topic. He grabbed he ripped off a leg and he was beating them with their own limb, you know, with the bloody hand. He wouldn't let them move. Don't say nobody knows. You don't know. And they were trying to wriggle and get out of it. Finally, he was still beating them. Finally, they tried to lay the blame on their guru. Well, you know, we have learned this sitting at the feet of our guru Maharaj, and he said, "Shramaiva hikevalam." Complete useless waste of time. Sitting at his lotus feet, he was completely like a nuclear weapon had gone off. And this is a person who's laying on his deathbed. My bodies are the enemies of God. And Lord Chaitanya was beating Vaitacharya because he was presenting Mayavada philosophy. So Srila Prabhupada would never tolerate it. On his deathbed, he was shouting, beating them. They are not our friends. But then when they saw Prabhupada was really intense, then they tried to, you know, I said, okay, you can come, I can teach you. If these Westerners can learn that Krishna's God, I can also teach you. So he was very, you know, cordial like that. As soon as they backed off, as soon as they realized that they had done the wrong thing, then he was immediately very nice and cordial. I can also teach you. You just come and teach you. And then one day, if I can teach these Malachas, Yavanas, to become devoted, certainly I can also teach you. But no compromise. It's very strange. You can't get this lecture anymore. I have to ask Ekadan why. I listened to that lecture about Muslims and dozens and dozens of times when we started the temple in Trivandrum. I listened to it so many times. Bhakti Vikasi also remembers this, but we can't get it now. There was a tiny little candle and you poured, you know, rocket fuel on it. He just like exploded at the mention. You know, nobody knows, you know, Krishna's, nobody understands the Gita. needed, that was a major error. The Prabhupada never tolerated this. How could you love somebody and then somebody say that person is, non-existent? And my God sisters once asked in 1972, she asked Prabhupada, have you ever seen Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. Really? Every day. Every day. He sees Krishna every day. All day. He sees Krishna. So when somebody says that Krishna doesn't exist, Srila Prabhupada was furious. And Bhaktisiddhanta also. He would praise his disciples. If they attacked Ramakrishna, if they attacked them, even if a riot was caused. One time a riot was actually started because one of his disciples said bad things about Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. And a riot was going on. So then I think it was Sridhar Maharaj, because at that one disciple was a little bit not overly tactful. So then Sridhar Maharaj, he sort of calmed down the riot by explaining everything he said is correct. Then they understood. But, to the point of kind of physical violence. But this is what's happening. If you read the history, Vaishnavism, that the Acharyas, they had to face very serious obstacles. Ramanuja Acharya, why Melukot was started? Because the king Choraj, Krimikanda Choraj, was going to kill him unless he accepted Shaivism. So then his two disciples, Purisha and Mahapurna, they saw what was going to happen. That it was one of Mahapurna's own disciples who had betrayed Vaishnavism and suggested to the king that Ramanuja becomes. It was one of his ex-disciples who did that. So they put on the clothes of Ramanujacharya and one of his servants, and they were taken before the Cholas, whereas Ramanuja escaped with his followers to Melukote. When they were brought before the king asked them, do you accept that Shiva is greater than Vishnu? So then, as a wit, to be very witty, because they're speaking in Tamil, apparently there's a word, in Tamil, the Sanskrit is a word, a weight of measure, which is also called Shiva. So it says, how can Shiva be greater than Vishnu when he's not even more than the Tola? But the king didn't like that. So instead of saying, I would kill you, except that when my sister was inhabited by Brahma Rakshasa, you freed her. So I won't kill you. Instead, I'll just pluck out your eyes. I'll have your eyes taken out. So I think it was Krishna who was playing the part of Ramanuja, and he said, after seeing you, my eyes are contaminated. He pulled out his own eyes. And Mahapurna had his eyes pulled out and later died. That was the guru of Ramanuja. So this they're not going to compromise. Better to have your eyes pulled out and die than to compromise and say, you can save your life and save your opinion. What is the value of your life then? Your life is dead. You're dead. There was Bhaktivedanta, when he was here one time a couple of years ago, explaining what happened in Russia. He's read that book, Salted Bread. So there was a horrible what they did. They beat the devotees terribly. Broke the devotee's back, kicked his eye out. Very bad things. They don't know. Shoved bodies in the anus, terrible things, horrible. Giving them injections, you get pain relievers. The Soviets developed sophisticated equipment to give you an injection which created pain in your body. Every cubic centimeter of your body would be in agony until they would torture you. So you would stop believing in God. One of the brothers, Bhakti Dayal Swami, from Hungary, told me how he escaped from Hungary in 1956 and his parents, you know, him and his mother and brother, they escaped to Sweden. And he was like, the last thing in his mind, he would have thought that he would then answer the point of being, you know, sneaking back into Hungary to teach and to spread Krishna consciousness, the devotees and the atheists. So he was telling him how the horrible things that he did to them, and the devotees died, he committed suicide because when they were isolated, they were tortured by them. One devotee committed suicide because he was in such pain in the psychiatric hospitals. But they never compromised. But he said there was one devotee, Bhaktiyan was saying, one devotee was given this KGB, said to him, listen, we don't care if at home you do whatever you want, we don't care. Just don't publicize what you do. Don't push these books. The devotee had secret underground presses. So he said that all you have to do is sign this document you renounce this Krishna consciousness. You are not associated. You're criticizing. All you have to sign, we won't send you to the Gulag. We won't send you to Siberia, to the prison camps. Yeah, you can still do that. We don't care. Just sign this document. So all the other devotees, they went to jail. They went to this one. The devotee thought, if I can still worship at home and not have to go to jail, just by signing this document and saying there's no Krishna, there's no God, there's all of that, what's the harm? My body won't get hurt. So he signed that document. But then, from that moment on, he could not say the word Krishna. He could not chant the holy name. He had renounced God. He had compromised. He who compromises is finished. So Ramanuja did not compromise. His followers did not compromise. Even at the point of death. And some Christians, even in the history of Christianity, they were persecuted. They could renounce their faith and live. Or die. Or when the Muslims came, so many in 800 years of Islamic rule in North India, they murdered 80 million people, were killed. So many. Aurangzeb would send his forces, armies, they come back with mountains of Brahmin threads. And the Brahmins would accept, they converted to Islam, they had to prove it by eating beef. They refused. They died. Better to die than to come to compromise. Because it's the truth. How can you denounce the truth as just denouncing your own self? Because we're part of Krishna. You can't do it. So those who compromise, there's no future for it. The life is finished. And Madhvacharya, the same thing. He has so many enemies to the point that they stole all his books. The Sringeri Math. They went and stole all his books. They couldn't defeat him, so they tried to put him in so many difficulties. And Bhakti Siddhanta himself, they tried to murder him. Gansh Goswami tried to murder him. They paid some police officers. There was a lakh or something like that. It was a lot of money in those days. Tremendous amount of money to murder Bhakti Siddhanta. The police officer said, yes, we do this kind of thing. We accept money, we'll kill people, but not him. The Sati, they refused to kill him. But they tried to, many times. So you can't compromise. No way. Unfortunately, today in ISKCON, there are a couple of members who do associate with Mayavadis, personalists, and they take up some of their principles, humanitarian because of much of my life. They can't find Brahmana, so they come to open hospitals and all these work for the poor, all these different activities. That's unfortunately happening. We won't get into that detail now.
Now the other thing,
Srila Prabhupada has another saying. The main glory of Srila Prabhupada is that his the mission, the order of his guru and his life and soul. But how did he do it? He did it through his strength of his personality, which had many other qualities. But that was the main, these are the sort of the embellishment. Because he had a very good sense of humor.
If you listen, if you listen,
everybody got one of these? You got them, but do you listen to them? I know so many people, they have Prabhupada's books at home, they can show the devotees, I have the books. Covered in dust, never been read, never been opened. But it's the good. Of course, in one sense, there is some good. It's Krishna. When I first got the Bhagavad Gita, I had three jobs. I didn't have time. But a boy said to me, just keep the book, it will have some effect. It's true. But it had a better effect if you read it. Because the effect was I actually picked it up and I started reading it. So if you have one of these, you should listen to it. If you haven't got one, get it. And then listen to it. Then you'll start hearing different things about Srila Prabhupada, how he behaves, how his action is.
When I first,
in November, it was actually November the 15th, 1977, the morning after Srila Prabhupada left his body, I heard the news. I was a cook in Hyderabad. So I felt very strange. I mean, I wrote it down in my book, you know. But it didn't affect me so much because I didn't really know Prabhupada. Because I didn't have that much association. But now, after reading Srila Prabhupada's book very thoroughly and listening, I mean, I must have listened to this, you know, I'm on my fourth listen, so 1500 hours with the lectures, conversations, like that, I have a much deeper relationship with Prabhupada. And it's like Rukmini, Shivarman Krishna. She only heard about Krishna. And she wanted to surrender her life to Krishna. She wanted to be married to Krishna, just like you know, never met Krishna. Prabhupada only met Prabhupada 10 times, he said. It's not the number, I mean, now, because many of Prabhupada's Prabhupada's lived with Bhaktisiddhanta, and whether they knew, they didn't accomplish anything. I'm sure that was
there may be a flea sitting on the throne of the king. He's having very close association. But he's a botheration to the king.
Not an associate, not doing anything. But they're foolish disciples. The foolish disciples who actually tame the guru. Like this one guru, he went. Get 1,000 disciples. They went to the Ganga for a bath. So the guru took his clothes off and he had some valuables, some things he needed his job to do. So he didn't want them to get lost, so he wrapped them up very carefully. He dug a hole in the sand, covered up, and he took a stick and he put a stick in the sand. That way, you know, when he finished, you know where his things were. So all the disciples are watching him. Oh. So while the guru's in the bath, they all dug holes. They put a stick on it. So the guru comes out with these thousands of little sticks, you know. Where is the idol? They didn't know what his purpose was. So instead of helping him, now he's confused. He lost his thing. There's 1,000 little sticks. They don't know where their things are either, because they don't know which one is theirs. You know? And they don't know the purpose of the guru. And they're imitating him without knowing the purpose. So they become actually a burden. Not knowing, not having the same potency, not knowing. So where there's one interesting incident in the life of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya did Vijaya. One time he was going through a village with his disciples, and some Chandala lady, she offered him some sweet. Shankaracharya stopped and he took the sweet ate. So all the other disciples were saying, "Oh, Guruji, he's eating, we also can eat." So they started eating. And then Shankaracharya is looking at his disciples. Oh, they imitated. They also think that they can eat food from the hand of Chandala. So then he walked into blacksmith's shop. Blacksmith had molten lead. So he took molten lead, poured it in down his throat. Said, "Who's next?" I could see Paramatma and Jivatma in her heart. Could you? There's useful disciple and disciple who's a pain to the guru. So Srila Prabhupada, who relate there,
when you listen.
So we want to become a useful disciple. So we should, because in ISKCON there are many Diksha gurus, but Srila Prabhupada is everybody's Diksha guru. That means he's the founder of charge. Like in Madhva Sampradaya, they have their gurus, they have their mats, but everybody is Madhva charge. Even they listen to the other acharyas of it. But when there's Sri Sampradaya, everybody has their Diksha gurus, but they have so many Diksha gurus. Ramanuja, Namawa, Dhanawa, Dhirupanda, this is their Diksha gurus. So for us, Srila Prabhupada is our Diksha guru. So by listening, Srila Prabhupada continues that every 2-3 hours a day. Develop a personal relationship with Prabhupada. He's not a material personality. Even with material people, if you read about them very deeply, you get to know them. You read their writings, you get to know what the person is like, what this is about, a spiritual personality, which is beyond these things. It's a completely mystical process, totally mystical. It's not material at all. That was illustrated to me one occasion. It was in 1992, 20 years ago. I had to move from my flat, and it was a deadline. I didn't have time to check my job. But at least that was just all I was doing from morning, long as soon as I woke up, I was packing. Because the deadline had to be out by a certain date. For about 10 days or so, I didn't chant my japa, but I was listening 12 hours a day to these Prabhupada's lectures. And at one point, I was thinking to myself, normally if I don't chant my japa, I feel terrible. And I was thinking to myself, why do I feel so good? At that very moment, Srila Prabhupada on the page said, because the words of the Guru is Krishna speaking to you? And answer my question. Now I know how I was feeling to you. That is the words of the Guru is Krishna speaking to you. Krishna speaking. You should love. For one, to illustrate his humor, and there was one time he was probably describing the Leela of Sakshi Gopal. Have you heard that? Prabhupada describing that Leela? So, everybody knows the story of Sakshi Gopal. So then, briefly, some Brahmins made an agreement in front of the Gopal deity. Then the agreement was broken. So the one Brahmin had to come back from Orissa to Vrindavan to get Krishna to be the witness. So Prabhupada is saying, to the Brahmins is saying to the deity, you have to come and witness, He's having a conversation with the deity. And Gopal says, "Well, how can I walk there?" But you can talk, you can walk. Prabhupada says, Krishna was defeated by logic. He said in such a charming way, the Prabhupada was so charming in this way, Krishna was defeated by logic. You can walk and you can talk, you can walk. And Prabhupada also had the amazing quality that he could imitate any sound. Frogs, cars, like that. And then he was talking about how material solutions actually create more problems. So he was saying how one time, when I first came to America, then getting a telephone in India is so difficult. So difficult, so many complications. You know, when people are trying to get a telephone, and this is before cell phones. Now for almost 100 rupees, you can buy a SIM card, and then whatever much you want to spend on the phone, you have a phone. No problem for the rest. But before, that's it. And then when we try to get a phone in Trivandrum in 1982, they paid a 2,000 rupee bribe just to get the phone. A 2,000 rupee bribe would be like a 20,000 rupee bribe today. You get a phone, they put in a queue. So this is a problem. And it didn't work. The phone didn't work. You get a book in advance, 2 days in advance, make a lightning call. That's the phone system. So Prabhupada was explaining how in America it's so easy to get a phone. I just put my money down, and next day there was a phone was there. But then the problem started. I went to sleep at midnight. Ring, ring, ring. He's imitating the phone. Hello, yes. Amiji? Are you okay? Yes, but why are you calling at midnight? That's me, I'm okay. So, this happened many times. He said, he's got rid of the phone. Ring, ring, ring. Funny, are you right? But the way Prabhupada describes it is so funny. He had a perfect imitation sound of the telephone, a perfect imitation sound of a motor starting, a frog croaking. He had an amazing talent for these things. Very witty. I can't imitate it. You have to listen for yourself. And sometimes be gravely, gravely serious. And the next moment he could be very funny. Very, very funny. Like somebody asked him, he was with a bunch of PhDs in Los Angeles. Somebody asked him, Srila Prabhupada, what is the definition of insanity? He said, the sum total of all stupidity. Definition of insanity. Sum total of all stupidity. Everybody laughed. It was quite humorous. Or another time, it was initiation lecture, I think, in St. Louis. You could hear the whole thing. The devotees who were there, eyewitnesses told me the same thing. You hear, it was in St. Louis, and Prabhupada is giving a lecture on Ajamil. The sixth canto, Ajamil. What how Ajamil. He was dying, and Yamadutra came and started calling for his son, Narayana, Narayana. So his Prabhupada said the word Narayana about five or six times, and all of a sudden, complete silence. The silence. And it's not for 10 seconds, not for 30, but for a couple of minutes, there's complete silence. And then Prabhupada, he just ended the class and left. And the people who were there, the Prabhupada went into a complete ecstasy. Just from saying the word Narayana three or four times in a row. He became overwhelmed in ecstasy. And the devotees were completely electrified by the Holy Spirit. And Prabhupada just said, thanking him again. At the end of his class, thank you very much. And he just left. Because he couldn't maintain his external, he could not maintain his external consciousness. And he went into an ecstasy in the middle of the class. That you can hear it on this DVD. So many amazing you get to know. You get to know Srila Prabhupada. I was in December 1994, actually Christmas Eve. I was reading Harishari's diary, transcendental diary. that again lamenting, really lamenting. But I never have a chance to give the association to Prabhupada like Vishali and other case Swami like that. I was really lamenting. I went to bed crying. Then I had a dream. In dreaming. Srila Prabhupada was there, sitting on the Vyasa side, and I was fanning Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada leaned over, took me by the shoulder, and kissed me on the cheek, like a grandfather would kiss a child.
And I immediately woke up and I was standing up. And from that point,
I was so shocked. I was like, And that's why I realized that Srila Prabhupada is there for everybody who will just accept him. And dream about a spiritual master is not an ordinary dream. In fact, I was explaining the Vedanta, the dreams are real. And the difference is that dreams are not a shared meal. I was thinking in a seminar one time now. Created understanding of sleep and dreams as a whole other class.
Srila Prabhupada
and Acharyas explain that dreaming about Krishna or dreaming about God, dreaming about the Guru, these are real dreams. They're transcendental. The point being is that Srila Prabhupada is not God. He's there. You can develop a relationship with him. Read his books. Listen to his classes. It's not a difficult thing. I learned from Kamal Krishna Maharaj. He would have us in those days of Sony Walkman. Because in those days, until recently, when MP3s, about 12, 13 years ago, MP3s became viable. So when I got I have this tiny inheritance. So I thought, what's the best use of this money? So, because Paul doesn't bring like Paul Krishna, he'd have a Sony Walkman. He did whatever, as he woke up, he put his Sony Walkman on. Listen to the show, Prabhupada lecture, go to the bathroom, and you just pull it with you, drag it with you, and brush his teeth, everything like that. You can take a bath, and come out, get dressed, listening to the Sony Prabhupada lecture. So I thought, I'd like to do the same thing. I had a few hundred, but didn't have a thousand or so of them. So I thought the best use of the money would be to buy a whole series. It came in big booklets with 16 each, and the cost was $2,000. It's like 2.2 lakhs. You can get a complete set now for 200 rupees. That would be actually just about $5, which would be the cost of one cassette. A tiny fraction of the amount. And have a small MP3 player, external speaker. I just take it wherever I go. As soon as I get up, brush my teeth, I'm eating prasad, I'm getting dressed. I listen to, easy to listen to two lectures a day. Easy. And hear directly from Krishna. From Prabhupada, which is from Krishna. As Prabhupada said, the words of the Guru is Krishna speaking to you. Transcendental slip there. You hear directly from Krishna's representative. He is our direct connection to Krishna. So I urge everybody, if you haven't got one, yeah, and if you've got one, listen. And you will be greatly benefited. And you will know Srila Prabhupada. Imagine if we had, a 1,000 hours recorded of the Bhakti Siddhanta, the Bhakti Vinod, the Lord Chaitanya. We don't. But we do have to show that. Take advantage of it. It's so easy. For 2,000 rupees, you get an MP3 player. And for 200 rupees, you get a whole set. So, please do. Do we have any questions, comments? Anybody have any other